Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome into another off-season bonus episode of Stone Cold Shows. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Palillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Palillo and at JoshJordan975 and read their work on sportsmap.com. Charlie, Josh, last episode we discussed options on how Houston could retool the offense for next season. This week we're going to discuss pitching. In spite of that avalanche of injuries that overcame Houston in 2024, the Astros ended up with a regular season, the 6th best ERA in the league at 3.74. Hunter Brown turned into one of the league's premier starting pitchers. Spencer Arrighetti was a pleasant surprise. The trade for Yusei Kikuchi was just what the doctor ordered to solidify the back end of that rotation. But Kikuchi's a rental. Next season, the team enters its final year of team control of Fromber, and Justin Verlander's option did not vest, so he becomes a free agent. So let's start with JV. GM Dana Brown says Verlander has expressed interest in returning. We know what Verlander's meant to this team in years past and the subsequent struggles to stay healthy and perform at the level we're used to seeing him. Is there a place in Houston for Verlander at the right price?
I don't think so. 42 years old, coming off a lousy season when you add it up, ravaged by injuries as Father Time finally made the big move on Justin Verlander. Now, he's been so accomplished, and a hallmark of his sensational career had been durability. So you want to say never, but where the Astros are, they need someone who would be more reliable to give them innings at a competent level. You know, exactly what the doctor ordered that Kikuchi fulfilled upon his acquisition. Justin Verlander, of course, also is chasing 300, which I think is a Mount Everest-sized mount to climb, needing between 35 and 40 wins. So that's 3 seasons of full-time work in a rotation averaging double-digit victories. I just don't see how the Astros can offer that sort of role in their rotation. I do think they're going to look to go 6-man rotation for good chunks of the season. But when you take into account what is returning to campus, and then the fingers crossed guys, starting with Luis Garcia, who's supposed to be there at the beginning of the year, Christian Javier, maybe midway along the way. I just don't see it for Justin Verlander with the Astros.
I think this is it's a Jim Crane deal. You know, he's signed him before. He's traded for him twice. So he's the owner of the team. If he wants Justin Verlander and they find a reasonable contract that they're both happy with, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Justin Verlander came back. I know he's getting older, but it's not unheard of. You know, Nolan Ryan had some terrific, you know, seasons into his 40s. So it's been done before, but we are seeing Verlander decline. We're seeing the injuries pop up. So, you know, if you're predicting this type of thing, the outlook's not great. You don't expect that he's going to get significantly better and more healthy, but it's not impossible. So I just, Jim Crane, he loves him some JV. JV day at the ballpark, there's usually a lot of butts in the seats. Who knows if that'll continue to be the case if he's not performing like classic JV. But if it's the right deal, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm not sure if I'm the Astros, if it was my decision, if I would be targeting Verlander. But I know how Jim Crane is, and it's his ball club. And if they find a deal that's not super expensive, and JV does have some numbers, as Charlie mentioned, that he wants to run down. I think he wants to continue to pile up the strikeouts to get him firmly in that top 10 and keep him there. So, yeah, I don't think it's out of the question, and I wouldn't mind it. You know, of course, if he starts breaking down and pitching terribly, then as an Astros fan, you're going to mind it. But I'd give him one more shot, but my hopes wouldn't be very high, though. It's just kind of a, you know, just hope something happens. I wouldn't count on it.
If Verlander had 293 career wins instead of 263, I'd say all but a fait accompli that he comes back. Josh made the salient point. In the end, it's Jim Crane's toy, and he can play with it how he wants to. But 2 years in a row, Justin Verlander hasn't been ready to start the season. He was injured with the Mets. Then he was injured with the Astros. The Astros going into 2025, I think, need something more stable to be filling out innings in the back of the rotation, because you're not going to have Javier. Didn't even bother mentioning Lance McCullers. Who knows? I mean, he's missed two full years. If he's ever going to be ready, it'll be starting 2025, but I wouldn't be placing a bet on that. Verlander's market will be interesting. You know, if Detroit hadn't become a playoff team and this close to getting to the American League Championship Series, you'd say, oh, full circle for Verlander, bring him back to Detroit as a little bit of a publicity stunt, and he'd be welcome back there. But the Tigers, you know, they were using openers other than Tarek Skubal in the postseason. Verlander to Detroit as a mentor, fifth-type starter makes more sense to me than Verlander back to the Astros. Well, are the Tigers willing to guarantee a $10 million base plus incentives? I mean, frankly, Verlander got paid a full season for not pitching at all, 1 year. The COVID season, he got paid pro rata in full for making one start. And he made $43 million, the majority of that from the Mets for 2024, when he was a bad and unhealthy pitcher. So Jim Crane, again, if he wants to put it in a separate category because he wants Justin Verlander back, so be it. But I don't want to hear any, well, we have tax issues, we need to cut other corners on the roster because you have the JV fund. That needs to be the billionaire's separate discretionary fund from any other impact on the Astros payroll. But I don't see it. I'll guess JV back to Detroit, frankly.
If his name was anything other than Justin Verlander, I don't think this is even a conversation for Houston. And I'm okay with him returning, but it's hard to envision that with him still being Justin Verlander, them trotting him out. He's even as a top three starter for this team. It's just really hard to justify. And my more pragmatic side takes over more than my fandom side. And just a quick reminder, if you're a Texans fan, the three of us do a Texans podcast called Texans on Tap. We're live after every game. If you missed our reaction to Texans Patriots, you can go find that on our other YouTube channel, Sports Matt Texans, or an audio form on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Texans on Tap. We'll also be doing a Texans Packers preview on Thursday, so keep an eye out for that. So speaking of guys that have meant a lot to this team in Houston, Framber Valdez has been one of the team's aces for several years now. He's in the last year of arbitration. He's projected to make over $18 million next season before he becomes a free agent. A couple years ago, it would have been sacrilege to talk about anything other than an extension, but his postseason performances subsequent to 2022 have been inconsistent. He's on the wrong side of 30, as they say. Guys, what's your best guess as to what Framber's future is in Houston?
Not saying they should trade Framber Valdez, but they should explore the market for trading Framber Valdez. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but the bathwater, meaning Framber's postseason starts, just one crummy one in 2024 that helped end the Astros season in 2 days, postseason in 2 days. 2023, it was three awful starts. 2021, it was all awful starts except for one at Fenway. 2022, he was magnificent. And hey, the Astros won the World Series that year. Not exactly coincidence. But Framber, when an extension would kick in, he'll be 32 years old already. Now, he has been a steady Eddie regular season guy and durable. But are you going to count on that in a long-term contract? And I think the stigma of Framber's postseason is going to resonate to at least an extent with Jim Crane and decision makers, and certainly with Astros fans. My template on Framber Valdez is Corbin Burns. Milwaukee, a year ago, traded a guy who's won a Cy Young Award and certainly over the last 5 years been at least as good as Framber Valdez. He was going into his walk year. Now, the Brewers' payroll constrictions were being smaller market, and they just figured no way they could pony up to keep him. But the Brewers traded Burns to the Orioles, got a young, everyday third baseman, a real good pitching prospect, and a compensatory draft pick, a strong return. And oh, by the way, after trading their ace, the Milwaukee Brewers ran away with the National League Central and were back in the postseason. So if the Astros can get a deal that, hey, you know, that everyday third baseman thing has an opening for the Astros if Alex Bregman is gone, or a young pitching prospect of note or two who'd be young and cheap and controllable. I'm not saying again that, of course, you must move off Framber Valdez because that postseason stuff, never again. But explore the market. And if there's a Corbin Burns-esque return, hey, it's $18 million or so. You knock off your payroll for 2025. Salary arbitration number. And I just don't see the Astros going, say, 5 years, $140 million for a 32-year-old Framber Valdez?
I'd be open to all those things Charlie mentioned. Look at the trade market. But just based off what the Astros do, I just don't see it happening. We say this every year, like, oh, the trade Bregman or trade Correa before they walk. And it just never seems to happen. Garrett Cole, George Springer, Astros use them up and let them leave. That's been their MO. So I wouldn't be surprised. They just hold on to Framber and then he leaves and signs somewhere else after the season. And a big part of that, it's Kyle Tucker. This is his last year. We know Jim Crane. Oh, every year we're in it. I don't see him trading Framber the last year he's going to have Tucker with this group of players. And I probably think Tucker's going to leave too, but that's for another day. We'll talk about that. But yeah, I think he'll hold on to Framber. And, you know, next season they'll be relying more on the young guys. It's just how the Astros operate. Unless Dana Brown's going to really be allowed to come in here and shake things up and put his stamp on the team, I think they're just going to let these guys play out their contracts and look to replace them.
Asterisk to the short 2020 COVID season, but the Astros had much better rosters and much better stuff coming back elsewhere on the team when Springer left, when Correa left, when Cole left. Right? The Astros have had some talent atrophy. They're still a good team, but they haven't been a great team or even close now for 2 years. And greatness isn't measured by getting back to the American League Championship Series. But after four 100-win seasons in 6 years, 90 wins in 2023, 88 wins in 2024, enough to eke out a division title both years. But the Astros are just another contending team now. They're not special anymore. So if you're just going to let Framber walk for a second-round draft pick, and if the Astros still wind up in the tax and they're facing potential draft penalties, depending how far they go in there, it's a real interesting call. And for 2025, you know, if you trade Framber and you get a young pitcher who's not yet ready that you're thinking, okay, count on him as a stalwart for the rotation. Well, they need to add one guy, I think, even if you're bringing back Framber. Well, that's going to cost money, right? If you say Kikuchi is 2 years, $32 million to bring back, if you're trading Framber and say getting an everyday third baseman or an everyday outfield option along with a pitching prospect, I just think it's incumbent upon Dana Brown to explore as a baseball move. And then there's the fiscal perspective that Jim Crane has to set policy.
What is the likelihood we see Kikuchi return? I mean, we saw what he did in his short time here. Josh likes to call it the Astros car wash, where they kind of rehabilitate pitchers and their pitch usage. That did wonders for him, at least in the short stint. Small sample size, but what is the likelihood that Dana Brown makes a run at bringing back Kikuchi?
Well, I know it was car wash, but I'm going to go with lather, rinse, repeat. If the numbers are right, Kikuchi turns 35 next season. He has been sensationally durable. Now, his results had not matched the seeming arm talent until the Astros got a hold of him. Obviously, he loved the 2 months here. Why not? When you go pitch every time you're out there and pitch well and the team wins the game every time, but the last one when Kikuchi pitched just fine. But there are always multiple teams desperate for starting pitching, right? If the Astros draw a line, well, we won't go to a third guaranteed year. Or we won't go to a fourth guaranteed year. A year ago in the offseason, Blake Snell was coming off a Cy Young Award. Jordan Montgomery was coming off back-to-back excellent seasons and postseason stardom for the Texas Rangers. And their markets wound up soft, at least compared to what Scott Boras was promising, the moon, stars, and anything else in the galaxy. Well, that can impact this offseason, right? Snell opts out from the Giants. Once he got back and healthy, he was good. Now, Montgomery stunk, but Max Fried is on the market. The aforementioned Mr. Burns is on the market. So if Kikuchi is only the fifth or sixth best starting pitcher on the board, does that impact his price? And does that increase the Astros' viability of bringing him back? I think their interest will be sincere. I think Kikuchi will be genuinely interested. But if someone else offers an extra 2 years and an extra $40 million, sentiment generally goes off the table.
I would love to have him back. I don't see this as a year where the Astros are going to go spend a bunch of money. I don't mean to be Debbie Downer, and I could certainly be wrong. I didn't see them signing Josh Hader last year and spending that money either. So who knows? I don't think they're going to do it because they basically have a starting rotation ready to go that's under contract. And as much as I would like to have Kikuchi back, I don't see him spending a bunch of money. I think they're looking at the books and going, man, we're still paying Abreu and we're still paying Montero and McCullers. And I just feel like this is a year where they probably think they can get by without having to add another arm, which kind of bit them in the butt last year because they had to go out and get Kikuchi. So maybe they'll see it differently. I think a lot of this depends on Luis Garcia, if they think he's going to be ready to go. It's hard with Christian Javier to count on him maybe halfway through the season. I don't know. And the whole Verlander thing, right, is like Charlie mentioned, is are they going to allocate money to Verlander and not to Kikuchi? And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So we'll see how it plays out. I think they're just going to kind of hold tight this year and kind of see where they are halfway through the season and maybe make a splash at the trade deadline like they did last year if they're in contention and they see some opportunities.
Not Debbie Downer, Josh. Robbie Realist. And as the Astros weigh all this stuff, first off, and we've talked about it some in recent weeks, they have payroll issues unless Jim Crane says, damn the torpedoes and the CBT, full speed ahead. But, you know, if you want Alex Bregman back and he's $25 million and you're keeping Fromber and Kikuchi costs you $16 million, just with those moves, you've already blown through the second tax rate and you're making a move on the third one where the penalties get really harsh, including pushing down your subsequent year's draft choice, first draft choice, 10 slots in the draft. But Christian Javier, 2 years in a row, blew through his prior professional innings high and then blew his arm out. Luis Garcia, 2 years in a row, new professional innings high, blew his arm out. I'm not saying that it's doom for Ronel Blanco and or Hunter Brown, but each of those guys, consecutive seasons now, a new career professional high in innings pitched. You just look all over baseball, from the Dodgers staff to the Rays staff to the Astros staff. Pitchers break down in alarming numbers. Ronel Blanco is already 31 years old. Hunter Brown is 26, should be entering the heart of his prime. But Tommy John is not age specific, right? We see older guys have a second procedure. We have younger guys, college guys, young guys with a second procedure. The Astros at least need to be mindful that while Hunter Brown looks like a guy who could be a real Cy Young candidate in 2025, Ronel Blanco was second in the league in earned run average. But the chances of both of those guys being durable and outstanding the entirety of the 2025 season, not tremendously high. So they should be planning accordingly in how they budget and in bringing in at least one more legit major league starting arm.
And part of that is going to be, and we've touched on it, is some of those returning guys. This plays into Dana Brown's willingness or lack thereof to go sign another starting pitcher because, as we've touched on, you do have Luis Garcia potentially coming back, Christian Javier, JP France in the mix there somewhere, perhaps Lance McCullers. It's hard to count on McCullers just given his history, but it's on the table. What can we realistically expect from those guys in 2025? And how do you think that does factor into the moves that Dana Brown does or doesn't make?
Well, France is dirt cheap, so he'll go to spring training. Honestly, his performance was probably fluky. The first half of 2023, he wasn't all that good a pitcher in the minor leagues, but whatever kicked in, right? Astros magic, but the magic largely disappeared for JP France in the second half and well, his final outing, if it's to be so, in game 7 against the Rangers. Jose Urquidy to me is a non-tender contract. I mean, he's not that good when healthy. He made $3.5 million last season. Are you going to pay that hoping he's good enough to be your sixth starter? McCullers, right? No one has ever questioned his ability. Anyone with functioning gray matter has questioned whether he would stay healthy. They owe him $17 million for each of the next 2 seasons. To me, that's entirely sunk cost until or unless he proves otherwise. But even if he starts proving otherwise, right, it'll be a ticking cut bomb on when the next injury happens. So I still think, you know, the payroll's the determinant, I think, on this. They should still be looking to have one more real established major league arm under contract than they do currently, whether that's Kikuchi or in the trade market. And do they need to move payroll money otherwise? Do they need to write off Alex Bregman if they're going to prioritize pitching? And of course, Bregman could just choose to leave entirely on his own.
Yeah, it's hard to know with, you know, with JP France, it's a shoulder surgery. I'm not sure what the timetable quite looks like for him. With Garcia, it's encouraging because you know, we were talking about him possibly coming back this past season. So for him to have all these extra months to get ready, and he's a big guy, you know, it's pretty free and easy for him when he throws, not like a smaller guy where you feel like he has to get every bit of effort in his body to hit 95 on the gun or what have you. You know, Garcia can get there pretty, you know, pretty regularly. He's a big dude. He throws hard and he's got good breaking stuff. So I feel good about him coming back, but you never know. And with McCullers, I'll believe it when I see it. And a lot of money coming off the books after the 2025 season. But as Charlie mentioned, you still got another year of McCullers after that. So there's no end in sight with that salary relief, for at least for a couple of years. But I'm with Charlie on this. I think you got to get another arm that's a more durable type arm to go into the season with, just because all the innings that Charlie mentioned for these other guys, and for expecting Blanco to come back and do it again. And, you know, Hunter Brown, for expect him to have a 2.5 ERA the whole season might be asking a little too much. He might regress a little bit, and that's okay. If his ERA ends up in the threes, that's not going to kill you. But Urquidy, you know, he hasn't really done it before. A lot of unknown with this staff. So yeah, I would, Kikuchi would make total sense to put in there just to solidify it, give him a durable guy that can be dominant. We've seen it at times this season, but will they have the payroll to do it? Do they want to go over the next tax threshold? I'll be curious to see. But the pitching was the strength of this team. As we saw, what got them eliminated was they couldn't hit the ball. They couldn't score any runs against the Tigers. And we kind of saw that towards the end of the season. So it would be a shame if they do add the bat and they get better offensively like we want, and then the pitching backslides, and then they're, as a overall team, they're not any better than they were this year. So I feel like the way they coach and manage and develop pitching, I think they'll be okay, and I think they'll target the right guys. So I feel pretty confident in what they can do with the pitching staff.
And somewhere factoring into this, the American League West being a pretty soft division. I mean, obviously the worst of the American League by far in 2024, which is no guarantee of 2025. Do the Rangers recover? Do the Mariners get a real offense? A's and Angels, hey, the A's had a top three record in the American League most of the way after the All-Star break. But it's certainly tenable for the Astros' position to be, for 2025, we're perfectly fine with going in with Fromber and Hunter Brown and Ronel Blanco and Spencer Arrighetti as a back-end guy and Luis Garcia. And then prospectively midway, Christian Javier. We like Gusto and Blue Ball and maybe Colton Gore. Maybe one of those guys makes a leap and becomes second half of the season Arrighetti as opposed to the first half of the season. I mean, that's a viable position and an economical position for the Astros to take. If you're trying to be one of the very best teams in baseball, I don't think it's the best position for them to take. But as always, follow the money.
Well, speaking of money, the bullpen became a lightning rod of criticism starting early last season. What many had hoped would be a strength for this team. The game would be six innings long, and then they would shut the door after that. That just wasn't the case. It became a narrative all season. Josh Hader, Ryan Presley, not quite living up to the expectations given the amount of salary committed to them. Kendall Graveman missed the entire season with shoulder surgery. Rafael Montero became the team's most expensive minor league pitcher. How do you think the front office addresses this bullpen during the offseason?
Josh, you can go first on this.
More of the same. Dana Brown did mention in his press conference to end the season that they might look to add to the back of the bullpen somebody to take some innings off of Brian Abreu. Hector Neris is out the door. So maybe there's one kind of small type move to do there. But how can you justify spending any more money on this bullpen with Montero and Hader and Presley? I get it. You want to improve, but especially look at what the Tigers did to you when they bring guys out of the bullpen. They weren't paying all those guys $15, $16 million a year. There's got to be some other guys that they look for to do that. And we saw Taylor Scott come out of nowhere and kind of have a good year for the Astros last year. Will we ever see Forrest Whitley turn into something that they can use in the bullpen? But yeah, I think they're just going to have to look at some different options and get creative with it. Paying another big time reliever to join all these other highly paid relievers just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, there's zero chance of that happening. I'm generally a never say never, but no way. They would give away Ryan Presley if they could. Is there a trade market, and is there a trade to which Ryan Presley would agree? Having the no trade clause, but $14 million with the option vesting for a pitcher who clearly has declined the last 2 years, 36 years old next season. If he's back, Joe Espada needs to realize he's not his second best reliever, so that he's Mr. Eighth Inning ahead of Brian Abreu. Stop the robot stuff, Joe. Learn going into your second year as a manager. But if Presley's here, that's $14 million. And that can impact those other roster decisions where Dana Brown talked about trying to get creative and needing to move some money. Man, they would love to move those $14 million Presley dollars. Abreu's the eighth inning guy. And then you figure out the sixth and seventh. Caleb Ort makes nothing. Brian King makes nothing. Taylor Scott makes nothing. Well, I think those are three of the other four spots in the bullpen after the seven, eight, nine guys. Maybe Tanner Scott, who whether overworked or just hit a wall, maybe he's ready to be the seventh inning guy. But Presley has to agree to move. And I don't think there's going to be a line of suitors saying, come be our closer, the way he's pitched the last couple of years. And then there's Josh Hader. It was an overpay at the time, though an outstanding acquisition at the time. But going 5 years, $95 million, it was just silly. And it's already come home to roost as fact on that. And Dana Brown defending Josh Hader, well, you know, he struck out a lot of guys and closed a lot of games. Yeah, the majority of the games that he closed, he came in with a three-run lead in the ninth inning or a two-run lead in the ninth inning. So not effing it up isn't being a great closer. Well, he effed up plenty, right? The blown saves and the non-blown saves. All those ninth inning home runs yielded in tie games. You know, Josh Hader gave up 12 home runs in 71 innings pitched. Framber Valdez pitched 176 and a third innings and gave up 13 home runs. So Josh Hader would need to pitch 105 and a third more innings and give up just one more home run to keep the ball in the ballpark the way Framber Valdez did. Josh Hader, he can have some vicious stuff, right? The hits allowed per inning, outstanding. But too many of those hits fly away. And then you throw in that he walks 25 guys in 71 innings. Josh Hader was a very mediocre closer or last man out of the bullpen. And 4 years, $76 million of that left. Looks about as good as the money the Mets still owe Edwin Diaz.
I'm with you. If Presley stays, he absolutely cannot be the default eighth inning guy. And that's all due respect to Presley, who's been a huge part of this team's success. And as far as Hader, Houston just has to hope that the every other season nature of relievers means that the baseball gods will shine kindly upon them in 2025. Because at this point, you're committed to that contract. Hope is your best friend at this point. We'll end it there. That's going to be it for this episode of Stone Cold Strohs. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you on our other podcast, Texans on Tap. So be sure to subscribe to that channel. And until next time, go Strohs.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.